It's time for Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.
Hi, folks. It's your old buddy Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in for our weekly outdoor show here on KETR. I want you to know how much I appreciate you tuning in each week, and I do want to remind everyone that may not get up this early, you know, that you can listen to the archive of this show every week right here on KETR. Just search out Outdoors with Luke Clayton on local features, I believe it is, local programs. And we're right there. You can listen to it and download it anytime you want to during the week. Hope everyone had a happy Thanksgiving, and I know we're all looking forward to Christmas. It's just around the corner. And I'm going to bet a lot of you have been out in the deer woods the past few days, and I bet you a bunch of you are out in the deer woods right now. And I know you're going to be listening to this on your device or your computer here a little bit later on the internet. But if you're out there now, good luck to you. The bucks have been in full rut. I made a prediction in my newspaper columns week before last that this past week should be some of the biggest bucks taken that are going to be taken. The rut is going full swing up in northeast Texas, no doubt about that. Well, the little piece of land that I hunt, buddy of mine killed a real nice 10-point that I've seen on trail cameras since actually August. And I've seen a lot of movement. I've got three cameras working, and, of course, you can't hunt all three places at the same time, but I'm certainly tracking the movement of the deer. And here the past week, the bucks have been up chasing does. When you see a buck, chances are pretty good his nose is going to be to the ground. He's going to be trailing a doe or trying to pick up some ground scent, and that's the way they find each other. You know, a white-tailed deer's nose is his best way of communicating and finding out things, and right now they've got the nose to the ground, and they're trailing like hound dogs. I hope you've had a chance to witness this yourself. You know, I was looking at the regulations up in Hunt County and many counties. There's going to be a muzzleloader season after the close of deer season, of regular deer season this year. I think it's the 2nd of January through the 15th. Let me look here. I've got my, the 2nd through the 15th season. You can, the same buck limits apply as to the regular season. The antler permits require only, antler permits required only on MLD properties. So normal properties that are not MLD properties, you don't have to have a special antlerless permit, just the one on your tag. Muzzle loading is a whole lot of fun. It's when I was a younger man, I was a rifle hunter for a long time. And then in my early mid-20s, I guess it was, I got me an old Hawking 50 caliber muzzle loader. And I learned to shoot it with a patch round ball. I killed a bunch of deer with it. I don't know. I hunted with it for probably until I was into my early 30s and took up bow hunting and really got serious about bow hunting. I was probably in early 30s when I started shooting compound bows. But a muzzle loader is a unique rifle, to say the least. There's a few things you can do to make it go bang every time. Today's modern inline muzzle loaders, honestly, out to 150 yards. If you watch your powder charge and make sure your bullet is seated every time and swab the barrel between every couple of shots, you can shoot some phenomenal groups with today's muzzle loaders. I've had a 2-inch group at 100 yards. You know, that's standard for a good muzzle loader. But there are some things, some differences. The one big difference with a muzzleloader, you've got one shot, and even the fastest reloader with a muzzleloader, it's going to take a good 30 seconds to get that powder poured or even drop those pellets down the bore and seat that bullet, that sabot or conical, whatever type bullet you're shooting. It's going to take a good 30 seconds between shots. So you better make the first shot count. I tell you a really humorous story. This happened probably 20 years ago. Clayton Williams owned a couple of big, well, he owned a lot of ranches out around Fort Stockton and Marathon and out in that country up near the Trans-Pecos area of Texas. And his ranch manager invited me. It was in the 90s. I forget exactly when. It's probably been mid-90s. He invited me out there on a mule deer hunt. This is kind of comical. If you'll track with me, I think you're going to get a laugh out of this. So I took back then I shot a lot of Thompson Center guns. I had a TC Scout. I don't know if you've ever seen one of those. They've been out of production for years. But a Scout is kind of an Old West-looking rifle, muzzleloader. Look, has that Old West look to it. Well, I had mine scoped with a four-power scope, and I won't say it's the most accurate muzzleloader I ever shot, but at 100 yards, you know, you can keep 90% of the shots in a 3-inch group, 4-inch occasionally, you know. I mean, plenty accurate for shooting deer out to 100 yards. Well, I got out on this ranch. I never will forget. I drove out through West Texas, spent the night at a buddy's ranch and rattled up a 10-point. I never will forget that. Whitetail. Drove on out all the way out to Fort Stockton and headed toward Marathon. Well, the ranch that Clayton Williams owned and maybe still owns, it was called High and Lonesome and then the West Pile. There are two ranches right there together. And I never will forget, I turned off that highway. I drove 21 miles on that ranch. I think that was the West Pile Ranch I was going through. Come up to a real deer hunting camp if you've ever seen one. I mean, it was nothing fancy. They had a good bunkhouse and good place to hang the deer and had a cook there, a ranch cook. He did the cooking for the ranch hands. And met an old buddy there that became a friend. He was probably in his mid-70s, an old Wyoming ranch cowboy rancher that was working on the West Pile Ranch. And he told me stories about mountain lions and how a mother mountain lion, he'd watched them from horseback a mile away with binoculars, how with the cubs that she went in, they went in on a pen of sheep and killed about 15 sheep before he could get to them, how she taught those her cubs, you know, how to hunt, I guess, how to kill. Very interesting night. Well, the next morning, I got there in the evening, so the next morning I had this old TC Scout muzzleloader. I had it shooting pretty good. I knew what to do with it. I was shooting 90 grains of Pyrodex, I remember that, and a 250-grain Sabot bullet. Well, I'd load that thing up, and the cowboys were the guides out there. There was about six guides, six cowboys. So I could tell they weren't real impressed mule deer hunting with a muzzle loader, you know. So we had a nice range out there. So we went out and I did some shooting, and they were in awe that I could shoot a 3-inch group at 100 yards with that old muzzle loader, you know. So, you know, as guys will do, each one of them wanted to shoot it. So I loaded up. I made sure to do all the loading because I didn't want them to, you know, I wanted to make sure everything was safe. So I'd put the powder in, 90 grains, seed a bullet on it. Number 11 CCI caps is what those use. Nowadays, muzzleloaders use 209, you know, shotgun primer. But I had the number 11 caps. I'd put those on there and make sure the guys were safe. We're shooting from a bench. Every one of them was shooting as good a group as I or better. You know, they're shooting a 2-3-inch group. And I was swabbing the bore out between shots. Well, they were impressed, and it was getting time to head out on a hunt. And the way you hunt out there is just drive those mountains and spot some mule deer. And we were in old Suburbans. I remember that. And my guide, I never will forget his name. It was Walt. His name was Walt, an old cowboy out there. Well, Walt and I were driving. I bet we drove 15 miles down the old ranch roads and spotted about 15 or 20 mule deer, one good buck, up on a hill. So I said, Walt, let me out of this thing, and I'm going to try to put a sneak on them. He said, oh, no, you'll spook the whole herd on foot. We're just going to drive. They're used to that vehicle, you see. So he drove within 200 yards of those mule deer. Well, the jury was still out on killing hunting mule deer with a muzzleloader. I'm telling you, these guys were not 100% sold. Well, here's the real story, what really happened. When I was loading that thing back at the range, I was answering questions, pouring that loose powder in, looking up, looking down. All right. What I was being quiz. What I did, the wind pushed about half of my charge out of that before it got down the barrel of that muzzle loader back at the range. Okay. Now let's fast forward to this big buck and these 15 deer we saw. I got out of his truck probably 200 yards and just went from rock to rock. The deer saw me, but they didn't run. I got about 80 yards. I laid my coat down on an old rock, put that old TC Scout on top of that coat, and I glanced back. Walt was in the Suburban. You know, I could still see him down the mountain there. I squeezed a shot off, and I'll tell you what, that bullet fell. I watched a bullet hit the dirt about halfway between me and the deer. And I didn't even look at Walt. I said, oh, my gosh, he'll never believe me now that muzzleloaders work. Well, here's what happened. This is a big 10-point. He was nice. He hopped around, jumped a couple of times, missed everything, didn't hit any deer. But those deer just kind of bounced around, you know, stoddled is what it's called. They bounced around two or three hops, and they were about 100 yards, and they stopped. Well, I had already ducked behind that rock, made sure I got 90 grains of powder down that bore of that TC Scout, seated me another Sabot bullet on top of it, and I had no idea that the deer would still be there, but I wanted to be loaded just in case they were. I put that, my coat was already on that big old rock. I laid that barrel down, and lo and behold, that old buck was standing off to the side of him. About 95 yards is what we estimated. We paced it later. Didn't have range finders back then, you know. Well, I laid that thing down, and I squeezed it off, and bam, of course, when you shoot a muzzleloader, all you see is smoke. I didn't know if I hit the buck or what, but when it cleared, I saw 4 feet up in the air. That big Sabot bullet dropped the buck, put him right on the ground. I looked over at Walt. He was coming out of the Suburban, walking up toward me, and he said, "Well, you got him," he said. "I can't believe that the deer didn't run on you, you know." I said, "Well, me too, Walt." But he looked at me kind of funny, and I said, "But," he said, "these things will work." But I never tried to explain to him what happened on that first shot, you know. I never tried to tell him that the thing was actually probably half charged. Folks, we're out of time, maybe a little over time. Make sure and tune in next time. Next week at the same time, we're going to have some more fun talking hunting and fishing. Folks, this is Luke Clayton, and thank you very much for tuning in to today's show. And remember, you can listen to the archive of all of our shows at ketr.org. Just go there and look under local programs. Today's show was made possible by the Dallas Safari Club, Smoking Tech's Electric Smokers, Air Force Air Guns, the Texas Deer Association, Sun Optics USA, Purina Mills, and Darton Archery.
Luke Clayton has been addicted to everything outdoors since his childhood. He grew up hunting and fishing in rural Northeast Texas. Luke pens a weekly newspaper column that appears in over 50 newspapers. For videos, archived newspaper articles, and more information, visit catfishradio.com. This has been Outdoors with Luke Clayton on your station, 88.9 KETR.